When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Great form by you hitting play on this podcast. Now, check out Same Racer, the brand new racing app for same race multi-tips. Same Racer. Download from the App Store and Google Play. Powered by BlueBet.
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
G'day everybody, welcome to the show, Carlton Show, round 12, 2019, and it's a joy to be a Carlton supporter again. Footy was fun on Saturday afternoon down there at the Docklands. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I'm sure you did as much as we all did. Stephen Purtile, lovely to see you.
Andy, Baz, and I think winning sure beats losing, if ever there was a truer word.
Bagsy.
Andy, Gex.
It was fun, wasn't it? It was fun. There was something about it that was just fun. What the fun came back?
It did. But there was obviously moments for the first quarter and a half. When you look at the scoreboard, you would have thought a little bit. You would have got a little bit worried. You'd have to be worried. I've got to say, I felt worried that the scoreboard was getting away from us. But I felt like, I don't know what the stats were at that stage of the game, but I felt like we were getting enough of the ball, but not getting any shots at the goal at all. Like, we were failing.
First half.
Jesus.
Talking about the first half.
Just talk amongst yourselves for a minute.
Yeah, first quarter and a half. Spillage. I just felt that we're in the game. Like, we're getting enough of the pill.
Oh.
But we're butchering the ball and we're going back to things that we don't do well.
It was embarrassing in the turnovers and the turnovers and
all that sort of stuff. But look, luckily, I don't know what sort of changed. I kind of felt, I'm not sure if you guys felt it, but I felt that we sort of went away from a total kicking game to introducing a bit of handball and run. Whether that is the truth or not, that's kind of what I felt.
This is one of those games where the intensity, the pressure intensity wasn't there, and it was similar to some of the other games where we've performed well in that it was a little bit more space to work in than other games where it'd been, you know, lots of players in your face every time you get the ball, tackled as soon as you grabbed it. It wasn't one of those games. I think Brisbane tend to play a more free-flowing outside game, and that's been their brand, I think, going this season, to be fairly positive with their young group.
Yeah, but the difference in this game was that we're playing a side that was fifth on the ladder and we're six goals down.
Oh, absolutely.
We just don't come back from there.
No, we never come back from there. Definitely not. It was
37-4, it was. So.
And from that point onwards, it was, I think, 11 goals, 9, 75 to 3, 5, 23.
It was a domination.
Have you had a chance to have a look at the stats? It's just, if you looked at the stats, purely on stats for the game, you'd say Carlton has absolutely walloped this mob.
It was a domination.
And they did wallop them in stats. And look, the margin in a way almost flattered them because of the way that they got away to a fly.
Look, they had their two posters. Martin misses from 10 metres out in the last quarter. They had their chances to, you know, tighten it up at
absolutely
the end. But I think given the fact that we spotted them 37 points, fuck them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're fifth on the ladder coming in. It's all us, this story. This is all about, and I don't, through all of the goddamn noise, if one of you guys ever becomes president or CEO of the Carlton Footy Club, can you do me a favour? That at our home games, they just shut everything up. Just shut up.
The bloody noise.
Shut up. All the time, the noise at quarter time, half time, three quarter time. It dead set drives you mad.
You know, when you bring this up, half of the people who are talking out there amongst themselves will say, you know, these guys are out of touch and they're old farts. They can't go with the modern sort of way they present footy. Well, I don't care because I just sit there holding my hands. It's either a loud set of advertising or it's people with microphones in their hands speaking at a volume way above what is necessary.
So the reason I bring that up is because it just becomes this wall of noise that if you're like me and the people, you know, like us, you tune out. But Dale Amos did a quick interview coming back out after half time. And I don't know whether you heard it, but what he said was, we actually feel like, you know, it doesn't look like it on the scoreboard, but all the numbers are telling us that we're right in this. We're right in this at halftime as he came back out for the third quarter. Mm. And it's exactly, I must say, that's like further to what you said,
yeah,
Baz. It's exactly how I felt.
The numbers were there. We were beating ourselves, which is what we do.
That's
all it is.
100%. That's what it was. Mm. And that's why I sort of felt that we got a little bit of a running game going. I thought we did use angles a bit better throughout the whole day. And, you know, when you're running and overlapping and using the ball a bit better, well, then we end up getting, you know, 23 scoring shots to 18 and 59 inside 50s to 42. That doesn't, Gex, how often would that happen?
Really?
59 inside 50s.
Really?
And what did the coach say during the week? He said, we've got to get the ball in there a lot more often.
He did.
We're getting enough looks from, 40 shots at goal? From 40
entries.
If you can raise that by 10 or 15 or 20, well, you're going to have more looks. And I think, you know, we got enough looks. We probably butchered a few ourselves, actually. I think Setterfield probably kicked a couple.
Oh, I did.
You should have kicked a couple.
You should have kicked two. You should have certainly kicked the second one. Mm. First one was on the arc of 50. That's a 50-50, I reckon, from out there. The second one, you should have 30 out directly in front. You got to kick that, you know.
Did you feel that this sort of started, well, for me, this whole win started during the week. And I won't go back to Monday. That's done, dusted. I'm not going to bring that up. But certainly I thought that Teague's interviews on Thursday and press conference, I think, might have been Friday. If you just listen to the man talk and take it on face value, and you hear him talk about the training on Wednesday, that they trained really, really well. Now, he basically was putting on them and said, well, you trained really well, and I'm saying to you guys, you need to bring that on Saturday.
Hmm.
And I felt that he set the tone, shifted the mindset a little bit to everyone out here, put it back on the players a bit, play footy. I'm asking all of you to bring your best, your strengths, all your strengths, play to your strengths. Hmm. And I think if you went through most of the players on the 22 that played, I reckon – to a man, they almost played, I reckon they just about, I went through the lot and I really felt that everyone played to their particular strengths.
Everybody made a contribution.
Mm. No doubt.
Every player made a contribution.
But if you're a kicker, you were kicking. If you're a runner, you were running. If you're a manic ball user, you were that. I just felt that, you know, Cruiser, you know what he does, and we knew what he did in the third quarter. Levi, you know, did his job. I just went through the lot and I thought, what's he good at? You know, what's Jack Silvani good at?
Mm.
And he brought it. Yeah. He didn't get a lot of touches.
He had some important ones, though.
Didn't he? It was all about impact for a few of them. And I just felt that it started during the week with Teague. And then it took a while to unfold on the day.
Sure did.
But when it did, you know, that third quarter, you know what we used to do in third quarters. Well, that was a total domination. Mm. It was 10 shots at goal, could have easily been 7 goals. We kicked 5-5. They could not get out of our forward line.
No, mate. The way we dominated ground ball in that third quarter, the ball, they bring it out, pack, ball hits ground, Carlton turn it back inside 50 or win the ground ball contest. I can't remember. I can't remember a match where Carlton has dominated the ground ball the way. Normally that's them walking out of.
Yep.
You know,
they could not get out of there.
There were some mitigating circumstances because Zorko had copped an early injury in the second quarter with his hip. He went off, came back on, came off again. I'm sure he had a jab at that stage and basically had six touches for the rest of the match. So he's been one of our nemesis. He was out of action. And the only other guy who was pretty well off the leash for half a game, Ed Curnow shut him like a barn door.
Yeah.
And that was all she wrote from Neil's point of view. So you take out Zorko Neil, they simply don't have any other prime movers left.
That's okay at stoppages. We're talking about coming out of the back line.
Yeah.
And we're our blokes set up.
I'm talking about 40 disposals with those two players.
No, but I think we're talking about setting up behind the ball.
Oh, yeah.
And then trying to come out from a kick out from fullback.
I'm talking about every time the ball hit the deck.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, and I'm agreeing with both of you. You're both right. So there's no point having an argument. You're right. And so are you. I mean, they were diminished because of the injury to Zorko. But I don't give a fuck.
This
about
is where
you.
I come back. To
I'm not looking for any Brisbane excuses this week. I don't care about that.
This is where I come back to the style. It's all about us.
That
Brisbane play, and we compare that to say the Collingwood game, where Collingwood also play a similar sort of spread of play, where it was more a man on man contest. There's no cluttering up stoppage or having extras in the back line. It was pure contest pretty much all over the ground, and I think we're better suited in those types of situations.
Yeah, but go back over the last, I don't know, 50 games of football for us. How many times have we had someone go down in the first quarter, second quarter, one on the bench, none on the bench? It has happened countless times.
I'm not worried about it.
I don't think Brisbane would be sitting there saying, you know, they had a 37-point lead. And these factors that Gecko is saying, they're a factor, but they're not a factor why we won the game.
The third one was that they had no match-up for Cripps, obviously, compared to the previous two games.
Well, his game, poor boy.
So I'm just balancing the ledger because there's always variables.
But all of those things were true for the first quarter and a half as well.
Yeah, but as I said, we were our own instigators for our failure in that first half.
But I think by and large, we have been at times in the past as well through lack of defensive nous, through multiple players being injured early, through horrific ball use, through shocking turnover. You know, all of those. We can go back and forth on all those sort of stuff. And what you're saying, none of what you're saying is wrong. But when they're fifth on the ladder, they're 37 points up. We've won 4 out of 43. We're not coming back from there. So what happened from halfway through that second quarter was on us. It's not – we weren't gifted that because things went horribly wrong for them. The way we started playing and discovering ourselves in that third quarter, the way we were cutting in on 45s, third man up, losing our man, cutting into a – you've got the bloke with the body position where the ball's been, and you've got Cripps floating across the front. You've got McGovern floating across the front. You've got Charlie floating across the front, beating their men athletically, getting to a marking contest with these beautifully positioned 45 and diagonal balls into the corridor that are into space, not into massive clusters of blokes standing still.
Where did that come
from? We haven't done that. I can't remember the last two years. We had it.
It was better ball movement, wasn't it?
It was better everything. It was better. Wow. It was better understanding.
So you've got to ask yourself, given the large sample size of what we've seen for 2 years and the small sample size of what we saw on Saturday, what is real and what isn't real?
No, it will all reveal itself.
Here we go. So I'm not saying one thing or the other.
No.
I'm just saying, you know, don't go and cash your Tats Lotto tickets in now.
All this stuff you hear after a win for the ages and, you know, it's a red letter day for the footy club. It's all bullshit. The minute you over-celebrate, and we've said this in the past about a win, the minute we – and I was – dog days are over. You know, like the minute we over-celebrate a win is the minute you get so caught up in the moment that you don't replicate and you slide for another 12 weeks back where you were. This was who I want us to be.
Correct. Absolutely.
This is only going to be us if we do it next week and the week after. And look, our drawer is actually opened up a little bit. It's come at a good time, this win, because there's a massive injection of confidence that they'll get and self-belief they get out of this. And there's probably three or four games between now and the end of the season that if we play the way we played on Saturday, we'll be in it up to our eyeballs.
Absolutely.
But it's on us. It's got to keep going.
The one thing that I felt right from the bounce, the first bounce, is I felt like we took it up to them. I went the first 10 minutes of that game.
Oh, no doubt.
We took the game up to Brisbane, I felt. And it had to be done too. Like, there's no, if the roles were reversed, you know, it could have been anything in their favour. The fact that we didn't have enough shots at goal in that first quarter and a half, you know, like I said, I feel like our foot passing, it got us into trouble.
Early. It got us into terrible misses.
It was really
shocking.
But they didn't go back into their shells.
Nope.
They believed in what was said to them, I reckon. Just keep, perhaps, you know, actually get a little bit more adventurous, almost. Like, you know, you've missed a few kicks, but get a little bit more adventurous.
Okay, just go again.
And go again. And like Fisher and Cripps, maybe Dow to a lesser extent in the first half, all had their pretty average moments.
Mm.
But they didn't say at halftime, I'm going to have to kick down the line. Mm. I'm going to play safe. Those three there were instrumental in that third quarter.
I thought he played a fantastic game of football.
Yeah, and he just kept he kept at it and at it and at it. He was creating a lot of havoc. He was creating a lot of headache for Brisbane, you know, stoppage players. But more importantly, when you got a bloke who's 6'4", who's built like Tarzan, and plays like Gigantor, who I wanted as the sole captain of this club, and they made that decision, you know, and that's fair enough too. That's a fair decision. Mm. But on the weekend, he enjoyed his footy.
Mm.
He enjoyed what he was doing, I reckon. And I really believe that he was one of those that just said, I know what I can do. I'm going to do it, and you just got to follow me.
No, mate. The energy that he brings to that team when he does a few of the other things that we don't see from him enough, you know, mark inside 50, two running goals. Those two running, the intercept run and then the one where he busted through centre-half forward. Game over.
Oh, yeah.
You're not losing when he's doing that.
So when I see that and I say to myself, well, Paddy Cripps takes it upon himself to have a crack at pulling off a move like that, right? He's not a dynamic player. He's not really doesn't have a lot of speed in his legs. And yet he can somehow manage to see the moment, the gaps, and take those gaps and see the opportunity to. And then I say to myself, why aren't some of our more better equipped guys who should be able to do stuff like that when they're not programmed to see the moment and have it take some risks? And that's where I want to see the Fishers and the SBSs of this world.
That'll come, mate.
I know. But they have to look at what Cripps does.
Of course they will.
And understand that they are better equipped to do that.
But don't.
And should be trying to add flair to their game.
But they will, mate. It's hard to do it when you've got your back against the wall the whole time.
Let me keep going, because what I'm trying to say is, have they been pushed down this narrow sort of corridor to be the people that they currently are on a football field by the way they've been played and coached? And I'm not blaming Bolt here. I'm just saying they somehow had been targeted as a key role in the team and given specific styles of play. I haven't always agreed with the way Fisher's been used as an inside footballer, and I'm just wondering, has that stymied his development to actually become a better outside player? You know, because there are other players in other teams you can see do similar things that what Cripps does. Whether they're able to pull it off is another thing, but they will take risks and run through holes and, you know, maybe take a sidestep or a balk. I think we need to introduce a bit more of that into our game.
You don't reckon Fisher does that?
I reckon Fisher does. I reckon he's missed plenty.
I think Fisher lacks composure. I think he...
At times he's a bit of an airhead.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But he's trying.
But I think
he's trying to do, I think, what you said.
His ability to understand space, I think, has been stymied by the way he's been used.
Okay.
Whether he gets to that level, I don't know.
But I think he will.
He needs to if he's going to succeed. Let me put it that way, because I think that's where his benefit will be to the club. Yeah.
Look, I mean, Cripps, for mine, what he does, he just knows he's got the brute strength to just go straight through him. Like, I reckon the bloke who was probably clearly best on ground at half time, I reckon he stepped away from one in the third quarter.
I think Ed Curnow did the perfect job on that bloke after half time.
I've got no doubt Lachie Neale stepped away from one in the third quarter, and Cripps was the man who made him step away.
Well,
and I saw that actually.
Yeah, he got out of one. He got out of one.
I don't blame him. I know what you're saying, and hopefully you take me the right way.
Yes.
If I'm Lachie Neale and I'm 4'8", and I see Patrick Cripps running towards me in a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think I'm getting out of the way.
Fair enough.
I don't reckon he's the only midfielder in the competition who's a bit concerned about the size of Patrick Cripps from an opposition team. Do you know what I mean? Are you hearing me? Have you actually stood next to him?
Honestly, he's a man.
Have you actually stood next to him?
I have.
But have you stood next to him? Sidled up alongside him and stood next to him?
Yeah.
It's not until you do, Baz. I'd be scared. You can't quite appreciate the size of the bloke until you actually stand next to him.
He's enormous.
Like, you're 6'1.5". You stood next to Patrick Cripps, he'd make you look like a pig.
Dwarf. Yeah.
He's gigantic. Yeah. And I know of a guy who's been All-Australian squad, not All-Australian yet, but All-Australian squad member, who has said to people, when I look at him across the centre circles, I shit myself.
Yeah.
I just hope that I don't have to. I mean, he is just. I have to tackle him. I've got to get in the way of him. Mm. It's brutal. I think Paddy Dow could have kicked 6 goals this year doing what you're asking him to do, but he misses them. Sam Petrescu Seaton can do it has done it on occasion, but not enough. Zach Fisher, I agree with Baz, he's done it, but he had one on the weekend where he kicked it out of bounds on the full. He had a chance. I think the stuff that you want him to do. Will come a whole lot easier when we're going. Mm. It's easy to do that when you're going. And you're not as afraid of the consequences if you get caught. You take it on because that's okay, I'll come again in the next one. And I also reckon that Brennan Bolton was coaching a long game. I think I sent a message to you this week. He was coaching what he thought were absolute bedrock fundamentals that these blokes had to get in, right or wrong, had to get into their game because when we are 100 games in and they're ready to be good players, Bolton's view was these are the fundamentals that are going to hold him in good stead. Then you add the expanse to their game. I think that's what Brennan Bolton was doing. I'm not 100%. So he wasn't as concerned about, touch base with your inner self. Be expand. Be expressive. Go out and enjoy yourself. You can't do that every week. There's no chance. You can't coach that every week in this league. They'll pull you apart if you just go out and play on instinct.
That's true. I see the rest of the season as being very interesting time for the development now because Tigers basically opened up the mindset of the players by suggesting that they start doing what they're good at. The concept of freeing us up. And I would expect to see a bit more flair in the team as a result
I thought he was refreshing David to hear.
It's fantastic, mate. Yeah. It was fantastic.
And again, take it whichever way you want. It's no knock, but it was just, it came at the right time.
And
it was refreshing.
It's a circuit breaker.
And if you believe,
it was, reset the brain.
And absolutely. If you believe what you hear, and this is stuff that, kind of seeps out, and it wasn't a destructive relationship or a toxic relationship or anything like that, but Teague was the one that people will tell you that Teague was the one who pushed back more against Bolts than any of the other assistant coaches. Not in a disrespectful, disruptive way. We're an open church here. Let's bowl it all up. What do we reckon? Well, I reckon we should be doing that. Okay, noted, but I'm going to do this. Mm. I'm not going to do this with Ed Curnow. I'm not going to play Mick Gibbons on the ball. I'm not going to have someone anchored at full forward. I'm not going to have a forward anchor. I'm not going to do that.
You've just mentioned a few things there.
Well, that were the three things that I noticed on the weekend.
You mentioned a few things there.
Well, they were the three. Well, they were the three to me.
They certainly worked.
Had to play forwards deep. I mean, that's
well, they did it. You know, worked. They did it. And it wasn't just one of the – it was – at times it was Cripps. At once or twice it was Gibbons. It wasn't – you know, we don't want that to be the case, but whoever got caught in out of position, somebody went and was that – player, you know, so
well, he hasn't exactly given him total freedom. I mean, he did say that he still wants them to adhere to team rules.
Shit, yeah, of course he does,
and that's paramount. You've just got to do that
of course,
as well,
absolutely.
But Paddy Dow,
we're not got off. Are we off Cripps yet? Can I just say two things about Cripps?
Keep going. I want to hear it. I love it.
He lays the last tackle. He went right to the final siren. He laid the tackle that won the free kick and he sprayed the torp. He laid the last tackle of the game. He went right to the final siren.
You've got no idea what I said with about 6 or 7 minutes to go.
What did you say?
We need him.
Yep. He went right to the final siren.
We need him.
20 seconds after the match, he gets interviewed. You know what he said in the first 20 seconds of that interview? You know who he referenced, who he pointed to? Brendan Bolton and the Carlton fans. Says a bit about this bloke, I reckon. At a time when it could have been how good are we and how good's this?
Yeah, no.
He talked about, unprompted, he talked about Brendan Bolton and the Carlton fans.
Yeah.
He knows. This guy's made of all of the right stuff, this kid. And he's a kid.
Yep.
He's a kid. He's a rural West Australian. He hasn't been brought up in some polished environment where they program you to just pull out the right stuff. Mm. Sam Walsh. Mate, spit out the right answer, and he's just going to do it perfect for 300 games. Paddy Cripps is from a different world than Sam Walsh. And for him to have just hit two nails bang on the head moments after the game just speaks to the kid's character, I reckon. It was monumental.
I pray I never see him playing for anyone but us, I tell you right now, because there's a guy.
I think we'll be sweet. I think we'd be sweet there, Gex.
I hope you're
write in stone, but I
think he loves the joint. I think he's proud of, you know, the position he holds already, and
the last 2 weeks until
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, but I think, you know, what he delivered and what I get the feeling he'll want to win at least three premierships at Adelaide.
I think he wants to be up alongside Nichols, Jezelenko, Dool, Southby, Kernahan, Cripps.
Just on that.
That'll do, won't it?
If he ends
up in that sort of territory.
That third quarter, obviously we agree, was quite a dominating quarter, you know, our way. What were you thinking at three-quarter time? It was only 4 points the difference.
What I hated about the third quarter? They kicked the goal in the first 30 seconds and they kicked the last goal of the frickin' game in the last 10 seconds.
What was Nick Newman doing with that handball?
Did they kick the last goal in the third
as well? Zorko kicked the goal at the 34-minute mark of the third quarter.
Right, and that got him back within 4 points, was it?
I just thought, how do you let him in? Yeah. Stop it!
I was still pretty confident.
Confident?
Yeah. Were you confident, Gex?
I couldn't be, based on everything else I've been watching.
I was... I asked myself, you know, I think we've probably been here before in games to three-quarter time. Now, how are we going to handle this? How are we actually going to handle this? Are we going to let them kick the first two or three and snuff us out? Are we going to attack them right from the word go? Are we going to really attack this and try to put it on the scoreboard and then hang on? Well, the answers came pretty quickly to me.
What about the Sam Walsh ball win and free kick in the first minute and a half of the last quarter? What about when he went to half back and won another hard ball about 6 minutes later?
I generally don't look at all the players. I generally follow the ball a bit. I get sucked into following the ball a little bit. But I genuinely wasn't really following the ball much in the first 7 or 8 minutes of that last quarter. And I was just watching them. behind the ball, in front of the ball, at the ball. And I turned to me, mate, and I said, I'm going to stick my neck out of you. And he goes, go on. I go, I don't reckon we're going to come off this ground losing this game today. And he goes, oh, fuck. He goes, don't say that. He hadn't been to the footy for 15 years this
point. Yeah, right. Yeah,
but he took his grandson too. But I said, no, I just feel it. I can see it. I can see it. We've all played a lot of footy, and you all sort of know when you've got someone cooked. I just felt that even if Stephen Martin had to kick that goal, I just reckon we're going to respond. I just felt it. And, look, that's talking in hindsight because he didn't kick that goal. But I just watched them for about 7 or 8 minutes, and I thought, we've got this fucking mob. We've got them.
No, I thought, now, no doubt.
That's very easy for me to say today, but trust me when I say, I turned to my mate and told him exactly the same thing. You know, and I could have had egg on my face, which I've probably had many, many times.
Well, how much confidence did you take from the performances in particular of Jacob Wiedering and Levi Casbolt? I mean, they owned their areas of the ground. They owned the moments, all the big moments that they were involved in. They might have, Wiedering gave a soft free kick away, I think, at one stage.
Maybe, yeah.
But they dominated.
Levi got outmarked maybe once and once.
Oh, gee,
once or twice, if that.
Yeah, Plowman did a terrific job on Cameron. Oh, he put him to sleep.
I was just going to say, like, Rayner, Cameron, and what's his name?
McCarthy?
No, the other M.
McClary.
No, the little bloke.
Yeah, McCarthy.
No.
Nah, the little...
The little prick.
The scungy bloody...
Is it McPherson? Not McPherson. Oh, come on.
Lincoln McCarthy.
No.
The ex-Geelong bloke.
This guy's a real prick. Little bloke.
Matheson.
Oh, him.
Matheson. Yeah.
What are you worried about him for?
How good was Simo?
Andy.
How good was Simo on the mark?
Andy.
Did you see that?
I heard about it.
Didn't you see it?
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
Andy, you may say that, but
he's had his moments.
He's had his moments before.
No, he's a competitor.
I just felt those three
He's a competitor. I'll take that back.
But those three there, right, you would have thought, you know, we've had problems with small forwards all year, and it's not really the big forwards that have worried us. So, you know, we've got Simo down there, Thomas down there, Newman down there, and Plowman down there, all, you know, responsible for those blokes we talked about, and at times, obviously, McCluggage. The four of them, or three of them in particular, Newman, Thomas, and Simo, can get off the leash and, you know, have their 24 possessions and those sort of games. Not on Saturday. On Saturday, I reckon they were more conscious of their men that I've seen for quite some time. It was left up to Petrevsky Seaton, Fisher, Ed Curno, these guys to get back and help. And they were the ones coming out with the ball. But it was more so these older statesmen who were actually looking after the men that they're supposed to look after.
So it wasn't a matter of peeling off.
Yep. It was more so, well, don't worry, I've got him, you know. And they had plenty of one-on-ones. And Newman was fantastic in one-on-one just outside the goal square in the third quarter. I can't remember who the one-on-one was with, but he forced it through for a behind.
Yeah.
And it was pivotal.
Yeah.
Absolutely pivotal.
Yeah.
And
that was super. Like, Jacob Wiedering, if it wasn't for Patrick Cripps,
I thought it was his most complete game of footy.
Oh, it was fantastic.
He gets four. I mean, we'll see. I don't know what you guys are giving him, but.
Well, I'll tell you, he was the four quarter.
He was magnificent.
He was four quarters.
Yeah. It's Wiedering. Just impossible
they
to
weren't
give
getting
him.
Past him.
No, he was magnificent. It was sensational. And he kept coming to the. It wasn't just sitting back. He did enough of that, read the ball in, get back, take the mark. But when he had to push up and really attack, don't let it out, he was going both ways on the weekend.
I thought he was really well complimented. I thought Marchbank as
Marchbank
well.
Grew in stature throughout the game. I thought he got better and better.
Yeah. Plowman's, it seems to be clear to me now that Plowman is a ground level.
This is what I told you at the start of the year. This is what the stats reveal about Plowman. He's no good.
He's no good in the air.
He's a small mid, that's who you give him. You don't give him a bloke who's any good above his head. He's no good at spoiling.
But he's going to get matched up by opposition coaches at various times of the game because they probably know by now what his weaknesses are. So if he gets dragged back to the goal square.
Well, don't let him play on those. Call the switch. Yeah. Don't let him get caught on those blocks.
That's where you've got to be smarter, don't
you? Bloody oath you do. Yeah. You know, we've got enough. The way that back line's set
Collingwood
up.
Collingwood exposed him, didn't he? Didn't they, Gex?
Yeah, I think they realised.
Collingwood exposed him a few times in that match.
Yep.
But right. We weren't smart enough, or he wasn't smart enough, or someone wasn't smart enough to say, you know what? Just switch with me.
The wrong bloke, mate. It's
wrong bloke, mate. Wrong matchup.
Yeah, yeah. G'day, Marchie. Get over here, whoever. Like, I've got to get off this bloke, you know? Like,
I think so. I think that's what you've got to do, honestly.
Yep.
And I guess, you know, the other one is we clearly had six or seven really good players on the day, but I thought Ed Curno and Sam Walsh.
Well, let's talk about it.
I thought that was his best game too, Walsh. I just thought he was unbelievable. But
in what respects? Like,
he used the ball better than he ever has.
About 80%. Him and the captain went
12 games into his career at the level.
That's the amazing thing.
I mean, I thought you were so overly critical on him early in the season by saying that you don't like the way he's kicking the footy and he doesn't use the ball well. That's okay.
I criticised him in contested situations, just bombing the ball over his shoulder out of...
Give him a chance to find his feet at the level. Oh, mate,
he's smart.
That one you're talking about, out of stoppage, the kick around the corner, up in the air and whatever, and quite a few players had done that throughout the year.
Yep. There'll be times when that you just have to throw your boot on the ball sometimes.
No, but we're talking 2 out of 10.
Stop being so defensive.
Aggressive. That one there, Gex, I can, I'm not sure how much I can say, but let me just tell you that was, that one you're talking about, which you didn't like, that was instruction, my friend.
Well, thank God somebody knows what's going on.
There's going to be times when you have no choice but to throw the ball on the boot. But you've got to remember, the kid's 18 and he's playing his 12th game.
He's also probably in our top four smartest guys on the field.
But you've still got to let the bloke find his feet at the level. And he's finding his feet. Gex, you can't just throw a kid in from the under-18s into your first six games at AFL level in a team that doesn't win and expect him to do everything flawlessly. You just can't. Surely you don't expect that of a kid.
I think you're taking what I'm saying to a higher level than what it should be.
Okay.
He's a smart footballer.
There's no doap about that.
And he's played a crap load of football already in his life, and he knows how to use the football. So he also knows that turning the ball over is a dumb thing to do.
He doesn't ever intend to turn the football over. I think I'm not going to keep banging on about this. I think you've got to give the kid a chance to find his feet at this level. He's never played.
It's not a criticism. It's actually a mark of respect for what he should be doing because he's that good.
When you say what he should be doing.
And has shown to do.
The fact that he's doing it at this age with this little experience is almost unprecedented. Mm. You're expecting him to do something. If you're not 100% satisfied with what Sam Walsh has produced in his first 12 games, I don't know what you expect out of a kid coming into the system.
I was talking about two situations in one game for the entire season.
I'm glad we're on that. He is getting so comfortable at the level now that he's taking that extra beat. You can see him now. He's just taking that extra half a beat before he decides to play on, before he decides to switch, before he decides to kick in open play.
He's got the tempo of the game.
Oh, mate. And he's got it now.
You talk about watching Paddy Cripps in the last stages of the game. I always look for the guys who take the game out, and he was one of four or five players in that last quarter who was pretty well controlling every passage of play.
Walsh. Oh, no doubt. And this is the challenge. This is why he is the exceptionalness of Sam Walsh can be a bit reflected against a couple of our other young players, because as good a kid as Paddy Dow is, or Sam Petrescu-Seaton, or Zach Fisher, or Will Setterfield, who's in a bit of a different category because he hasn't played as much footy as these guys in the last 2 years, you compare the way they are still a bit hot with the footy in their hand and a bit, you know, a bit scattery when the moment's upon them. Compare them still after two, three or four seasons, as the case may be, compare them to Walsh, who is just so composed already. It says more about Sam Walsh than it does about any of these other kids.
And you know how infinitesimal, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's you're close enough. Yeah.
How the margins that are so fine in being able to play in the way that Sam Walsh appears to play versus the way that the Dows and the Fishers play. It's as simple, well, not as simple, but it's these little things like Walsh standing a metre further away from the heat than the other guys do. It's just understanding where to position yourself in relation to the ball and reading where it's going to come out to.
It's part of the kid's greatness,
and
mate.
This is why he's Roy Hobbs. He's a natural footballer and he basically knows where the ball will end up. That's why he wins so many possessions. He can read the play. He knows where to be at the right time. He can see who's about to get the ball and where he needs to be to connect that next possession in the game. Whereas for the Dows and the... Well, Paddy Dow's are basically a one-grab inside player. And then...
Does it well.
I think when he explodes out of traffic, that's the part he needs to compose himself with.
Yep.
Fisher, it's a little bit the same. I think he gets the ball, and I think... So even in the last quarter, Fisher had two possessions. One was a too quick handball to Ed Curno, who was directly behind him, almost touching distance. Ed couldn't even see the ball coming. It was that quick and it bounced off him. So that was a turnover. Fisher gets it back and then he sweeps. It was a crazy one. He swept the handball into the corridor on the back line.
He's looking for Cruiser, but he missed the handball. So,
That stuff that he's just got to think clearer in the moment. Hopefully, and he can sort of see a bit more of that other side.
I think it will come with all of those guys. But the fact that it's come after 12 games for Walsh is unbelievable.
Is it unprecedented?
I can't think of a player in all the years I've been watching the footy.
As a first-year player, ever been a pure midfielder from game one, racked up the touches he's had, racked up the Ks that he has. He's the second highest runner in the competition at this stage, apparently, which is unbelievable. It's
phenomenal.
And maintained the standard 1 week after it's never been done,
surely. I can't think of anyone in the history of the game.
This kid's special.
You go through all of the rising star fields, the kids that get nominated, the kids that have won it. Nathan Buckley was probably the first year the award was handed out in 1993. Nathan Buckley was probably the closest thing that I can think of.
How did Judd start off?
He didn't win the Rising Star.
Okay.
He had a super first couple of games, obviously. The third game in his career, he kicked five against a very good Brisbane team up at the Gabba. Well, they were in decline, but still had the names. But Walsh is, out of all the guys that have come before him since we've been awarding this Best First Year Player Award, Nathan Buckley's about the closest thing I can think
of. His numbers are unbelievable. I think... And he's another one that will probably bring, at some stage, I've got no doubt, he'll be putting them through the big sticks as well.
Here's the one thing about him, right?
Oh, he's never been a goal kicker?
Not massive. No.
I'd like to see him. I think he's capable.
Like at 16s and 18s, and now at the AFL, 32 is exceptional. But I think we've said this a couple of times on the show, this is what he does. This is what he's always done. He's always been 25, six clearances, four marks, six inside 50s, three tackles. It's what he done.
It's not necessarily like you. There's players who accumulate.
I watched.
Don't think he accumulates.
I called the Sydney West Coast game on Sunday, and I didn't even look at the end sort of stat line of Andrew Gaff, but I reckon Andrew Gaff probably had similar numbers on the weekend to Sam Walsh, maybe a few less here and a few more there.
Completely different.
Cannot compare
the two,
the calibre of the two games. What Walsh did for Carlton compared to what Gaff and others in the league, who are these accumulators talk about, what the influence on the game when he was in the vicinity of the ball can't even compare it.
Yeah.
Mm. Walsh's influence is so much greater.
Am I right in saying that Walshy played a lot more in the guts on the weekend? I saw him in...
In centre bounces.
Yeah. I saw him in there quite a few times.
I've got to start taking more notice of that.
A lot more than...
The centre bounces.
He's
starting forward in the centre, right?
Yeah. Like, more so than I'd ever seen him throughout the year. And it was almost like Teague had been asked a question about, you need bigger bodies in there. And he just goes, no, I don't. I've got who I've got, and I'm backing him in. I'm back. And hey, mate, you're talking a bloke here that absolutely wanted bigger bodies in there. I was calling for the Kennedys and whoever's. But you know what? At the end of the day, our coaches know what they've got. They know that they've got capable players. If the game's played a little bit like Gex says, a little bit played on our terms, that things will go your way. What we need to see is when things aren't going your way.
When you're six goals down halfway through the second quarter.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct. That's exactly right. Which things are not going your way with the scoreboard, but you can fight your way out of it. And I honestly just felt that they had this steely resolve that obviously the captain was, just pulled the game out. It's nothing new to us what he can do. But just everyone else sort of followed. Followed's probably the wrong word. They just joined in.
He gives enormous belief to this group. He injects enormous energy into this group.
Yeah. And look, Petrovsky's Seaton, I thought.
He's good.
It was very workmanlike.
He was good, mate. He wasn't at his brilliant best, but he was. That's the worst you're going to get out of Sam Petrovsky Seaton. I'll take that. If that's his worst, if that's what you're going to get, as a blue collar workman like performance, then fantastic. Give it to me.
And then you've got your bit players.
How good was Jack Silvani?
He's fantastic. I would say Jack knew that we needed a fucking goal.
Hmm.
We needed one, he put three or four big efforts in, right? Finally flicked it out to, who
Gibbons.
Was it Gibbons?
Gibbons, yeah.
And kicked our first goal.
Yeah.
Well, there's only one bloke's name I yelled out at that stage, and it was your goal, Jack.
Yeah, it was
amazing.
Three efforts.
Simple as
super.
That. Mm. That's team lifting stuff. Mm. That's stuff where you look at as a player at wherever you're watching the game on that field and you see a bloke do that, you say, right, that's it.
Well, don't tell me David Teague and they're not highlighting that in the Monday review.
Absolutely.
Or the Wednesday, whatever day review.
And I'm not sure that Jack had I'm not sure that he had great numbers.
He didn't.
But he had some impact. These bit players, and Gibbons is another one. Gecko's been going on about Gibbons for a while.
Terrific.
He's
got a high IQ, Gibbons.
He kicked the two goals. He had the 20-something possessions.
He's terrific, mate.
He ran around like a rabbit. He was everywhere.
They got him up the ground.
He was everywhere.
He's a player, mate.
And, it's great to see players playing to their strengths. And, again, it's just this week. So we'll see what happens.
Jack, I notice you can see that he knows how to play.
Yep.
He knows what to do.
Yeah.
I just think he's desperate to get some stronger muscles on his body. He's one of those guys that just needs to bulk up. And
The position he plays, he never allows himself to get separation. He's always under the pump.
But he's got no speed.
That's fair enough, Andy.
He occasionally gets into a contest, an aerial contest, and I see him get buffeted off the ball very easily by most of the players whether he's got more to go with his body, I don't know. I think if he's going to play these positions, even as a midfielder, he's going to need to get more strength in his body.
I'm not sure if the midfield is going to...
Be an opportunity to chop out, but it looks like he's going to be that utility type.
Look, he's got his knockers.
He's not a ground level player, but he seems to get his sort of better football comes from that ground level contesting.
Guts, determination, you know, effort.
If he's going to make he needs to add the aerial ability as well. He needs to be able to go out and take a grab.
I'm not sure that's his. Otherwise, it's not his strength.
There's not going to be enough nourishment.
He's probably not a great kick at goal either.
Well, that's what he needs to improve. If he's going to improve anything,
set shots.
It needs to be finishing.
Set shots, yeah.
And we had a bloke in 1995 who sat on a half forward flank and wore number 6 and was probably the same. I haven't even looked at the size of Clapo, either the size of Jack Silvani. They're very similar. Yeah. Matt Clapo wouldn't have got more than 12 or 13 possessions very often in his time at Carlton, but Clapo would have kicked 35 goals that year, maybe 30 goals.
He was a goal kicker, for sure.
30 goals out of limited opportunities. Can take a mark, and when he gets the opportunity,
guys, kick
a goal.
Who was the Geelong guy we picked up who was similar to?
Hickmont.
Yeah.
That can be Jack Silvani, but he's got to be, I think that's going to be his spot. High half forward, contest, be an outlet player for when they need somebody, but when his time comes, he's got to finish. Because he's never going to, the dickheads who look at, what is his fantasy ranking points? Oh, he's at 115 points. He must have had a good game. Mm. Those dickheads who think that's a way of assessing a footballer's performance on a Monday, they are complete dickheads. And if you're one of them, you're a dickhead, right? Because
you call me a dickhead.
Because there's a billion different ways of assessing a player's performance, and their fantasy points are not one, right? So Silvani's never going to get high numbers. But if Silvani ends up kicking 20 to 35 goals a year, and he does all the other stuff.
Absolutely.
Then he becomes invaluable.
Correct.
Invaluable. So I think that's what he needs to do. Yeah. I think he needs to be a goal a week, the occasional three-goal game.
That's exactly, I think we all spoke about him 2-3 years ago. That's who he is, I reckon. Yeah, you need that. He's got to start hitting the scoreboard.
So, Jack, encouraged.
He's such an unselfish player.
Of course he is, mate.
He wants to, you know.
But you take him when you're 35 out. You know, the one on the boundary, you know, clearly, I don't know whether Ed's a good judge. Was it Ed or Simo? One of them. He took the mark or got the free kick hard up against the boundary, wrong side for the right foot.
And gone,
it was a stupid shot, right? Of course it was. But someone, it was either Kerno or Simpson, was saying, no, take the shot. You can kick this. Mm. So one of his senior teammates was of the view that he had it within him. So he was never going to kick that one. That's a shocking example to use. But if give him the one that Setterfield had in the last corner, they're the ones that Jack Silvani's just got to kick.
Yep.
You just got to kick those ones, mate, you know?
Yeah, for his confidence. Like, I think he kicked a good one against Gold Coast.
Last year.
Was it last year? Yeah, and gave him a bit of confidence.
But I thought he was terrific on Saturday.
Just another bit player, an unsung sort of type of player here, who has been in and out of the team all year, who's a very nervous type, I know for a fact. I thought Lockie O'Brien had a really
best
good
game. Best game by a mile.
What'd you think?
He played really well, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I just felt
a couple of goal
I felt
assists.
He used
got involved.
Got involved.
Got involved.
Ran his ass off.
Got
he's
involved.
In there, he's in there to run.
He kicked one and he gave one off.
Right. And he's kicking the one that he kicked to Charlie. By the way, that little ping, ping, ping out of side, right in front of where I was sitting. Newman, little dinky over the top then. Fisher inboard, little outboard handball, one over the top, another one to Newman, to O'Brien, O'Brien to Charlie. That was as good a passage of players we've produced all day. And it was the O'Brien.
It was the kick inside.
The O'Brien 50. Kick was beautiful.
The most important kick.
Beautiful.
So essentially, what are we saying here?
That's what O'Brien was drafted to do.
Yeah. And what we're really saying in a broader picture is that this team, although their captain had a fantastic game, but he was complimented by 21 others. It was 22 contributors
no
that
doubt.
Got this done.
No doubt.
You know, we cannot afford to just rely on 4 or 5. That might happen, you know, as your side gets a lot better. But right now, on the weekend, you know, even a Dave Cunningham had a couple of moments. Even Setterfield might have had a couple of moments. And these are guys who had low numbers in terms of.
They weren't super days.
They weren't super days. But everyone kind of, I felt everyone did.
Yep.
Something on the day. And that to me is a big big plus.
What do you do? Sure. Does Murphy come straight back in?
Hmm.
What do you do, boys?
Very interesting with selection this week. And I'll after we discuss Murphy and co, I've got another one to throw at
you. Well, is he good. Ready? He's ready to play.
Apparently.
Well, it'll depend. Will Lachie O'Brien come up?
Oh, well, I reckon he's going to be tested.
I think the knee came up okay.
Yeah, I think
It was a knee.
There was a suggestion that he was ready to come back on at the end of the game. Yeah, well, when you say a knee, like he hurt his knee. Like,
what sort of a knee?
Well, it's not a bad one.
The injury report said it was okay today. So
he'll be tested. So if he doesn't come up, then Murphy, it's pretty straightforward, I would have thought.
If that's the case.
Yeah.
But then.
Okay, so we're
clean. You can't drop any other
clean bill of health.
You can't drop him.
Who do you
drop? You've got to look at the opposition too. They're a mobile,
Western
football
Bullets.
Team. Bullies.
Okay.
They don't have any talls. So you don't really want too many talls in your side.
Well, unless you want to throw the talls at them up forward.
Well, up forward, because that's where we beat them last time.
None of the big boys up front are getting dropped.
Casbolt won't get dropped.
No. Levi certainly is right at home and feeling very comfortable down there at the moment. But does he have a match-up? I guess he's got the young tall down there week.
Who's that?
He can play a bit.
Oh, they got Norton.
Norton's the one I'm thinking of. I don't think they've got too many others.
Does Tim English go down there?
He's a ruckman.
So, the Marchbanks and the Wieterings now, you sort of look at, well, who are you going to pick up? You know,
what's his name? Gowers plays tall, doesn't he?
Tallish, he's on the lead, but... You know,
who'll play him?
Maybe Wietering.
So what was the other one you're going to throw up?
Look, I just...
So hang on, what do you do with Murphy? Go on, does he come in?
Only if O'Brien goes out.
So if we're full,
yeah.
a full bill of health.
I wouldn't change this.
So Murphy playing in the Northern Blues.
Yeah, why not?
Yep.
Well, you're asking me what I would do?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Probably yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
They won't, but I would.
Why won't they?
Because it's Mark Murphy, ex-captain and ex-best and fairest winner of
the
Carlton
Is it a sign of disrespect if we play him in the twos?
Yes. Carlton have always held him on a very high pedestal, and they don't play the unemotional game with Murphy.
Is it a sign of disrespect if they play him in the twos?
Disrespect?
Is it disrespectful for Mark Murphy to play in the twos?
No.
Well, it wasn't for Daisy, but I guess that was a transgression.
I wonder what people who listen to this are thinking about. And this is one that will split the Carlton community, to be honest. I don't think it'll be black and white. I agree. I can see both
if
sides.
If it's not O'Brien and they drop someone, that's a sacrificial lamb.
Which I don't like.
Isn't it?
Oh, hey, I felt
there was 22 contributors.
No, I don't. I'm not dropping anyone.
It
want that 22.
It might be a Setterfield. It might be a Cunningham.
No.
It's sending the wrong message.
So you're dropping Setterfield or Cunningham for
what I'm saying to you is if they're fit, I want that 22 to play again next week.
So do I.
There you go.
So do I. That's
okay.
What I'm saying.
So who's the next one?
I just think after the bye, this will come up, and I think it's going to offer a very interesting and potentially exciting situation for us because now that Levi has cemented defense,
you're going to get your wish here.
I can see that Jones coming back into the team could really roll the dice with him. We could do a lot of interesting things with Jonesy.
Go on. Another tall bloke without dropping a tall bloke. So where
no,
does
not
he play?
Necessarily another tall, but I'm just saying when he has to come back in because he's a good player.
I understand that, but what does he do? If you don't drop a tall bloke.
You either play him as the change ruckman and a utility around the ground. You can play him as purely and only as a spoiler in the forward line to create chaos. Not to kick the goals, but just to run and jump for whatever the hell he wants. Because
so McGovern, Harry, Charlie,
even
Liam.
As a decoy to cause chaos for the smalls. Just see Jones, if they want to be inventive and exciting and impactful and create something that we don't get in this side, he can be an all sorts of player.
Yeah, I like the idea of being exciting and unpredictable, but...
Well, I think that... That is the component that this side lacks, is something unpredictable and exciting.
Oh,
and
I don't know about that. I reckon guys like Charlie can be
Charlie's
that. Mitch McGovern can be that. Harry can be a bit of that.
Nah,
I think
they're not in the way that I'm describing.
I understand, but
they don't make you think what's going to happen next.
But that can be good and it can also be bad, Gex.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Whether you want to do it.
There is a real, they've got a real problem. They've got a problem on their hands because I think that when Jones is right.
I don't think it's a problem.
Well, no, it's a good problem to have.
And just quietly, I get the impression Cruz is just hanging on with his body at the moment.
Well, I thought he was good in the second half on the weekend.
Brilliant the second
half. I thought he was great in the second half.
I don't think he can jump very high off the ground at the minute.
Who cares? Well, he took the big pack mark late.
Just saying.
We won clearance in the second half, smashed him.
I think he's playing on heart. I'm not sure how good he's
been. He's played on heart for about 15 years, Matthew Cruz.
He's out to about 35, 32. But what are
the clearance numbers? I thought we got
clearance numbers.
We killed him in the second half, didn't we?
No, clearance we got on top there. Yeah. 41 to 30.
He's never been a jumper, has he? He's never been a leaping ruckman.
Third quarter, he was putting it down their throat.
No, I thought he was big.
We're also talking about... Your ruckman needs to be able to pinch a couple of goals to be a modern-day effective ruckman these days. I mean, he has his own attributes as a midfielder, which I guess a lot of other ruckmen can't offer. But I think for us, we need people who can hit the scoreboard more than anything else in this side.
Well, we've got – if you look at the names on the paper, we should have plenty.
Let me put it this way.
Yeah.
If Patrick Cripps hadn't have kicked 4 goals in the weekend, who would have?
No, well, that's – well, who knows, mate?
Well, based on previous history and what we were looking at other than Cripps, who would have kicked those 4 goals?
Well, you're saying Liam Jones will.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying let's throw the bloody cards on the table and just see what happens because we've got nothing to lose now.
Yeah, well,
this is an experimental second half of the year.
Surely you've got a forward line with McGovern, Charlie Curnow, Harry Mackay that looks pretty potent.
Yes, yes. And they can all play their roles as archetypal forwards. They will play their roles and they need to keep developing and learning how to play within each other's, you know, block for me, run for me.
Yeah.
Do all those things together. But Jones is just a wild card.
I know you've always harboured this belief that he can be this joker in the pack. But what we do know about Liam Jones is that since he's come to Carlton and they've thrown him as they've established him as a defender, Liam Jones has become one of the elite players in the competition in that role. So why now at 28 would you ask him to be something different?
Let me rephrase that. I'm not saying Jones play deep forward line. I'm just saying play within the 50-metre square, behind the ball, in front of the ball, whatever the hell you want to do.
I know what you're saying.
And occasionally you'll drift down and grab a mark too.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I have no trouble hearing what you're saying.
Occasionally you'll go back and take a pack mark in defence. But he's that sort of guy.
So you're saying go wherever you want.
Pretty much. When Cruz is off the ground, put Jones on to play that role. I don't know if you can do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure you can.
I don't know if you can do it.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Maybe they'll try it.
Well, the way I look at it is if we'd play the – I know Jones won't come back till after the bye, but after the bye, if we happen to be going okay and everyone, again, full bill of health, then, I don't see players getting dropped unless they need to be dropped.
No, hey.
So
it's a good position.
He's another one going to the twos and playing the twos.
Adelaide gave a fortune for Bryce Gibbs. He can't get a game at the moment because they've got 3 blokes out injured.
Yep.
So there's plenty of good players in the league who just aren't in the best 22.
Well,
this is exactly what we've been asking for players
to play at the Northern Blues. And to put pressure on players in the senior side.
Spot on.
Because what happens then is players feel the pressure in the senior side, push that little bit harder, and we may get results, we may not get results.
If we're serious about setting standards, which is what we haven't done in the past.
Yep.
If we're serious about setting standards, then make the hard decisions when it's time to make them.
So one of those would be Mark Murphy this week.
I'm not going to name names, but whoever the hell it is, if you're not performing to your potential, then you shouldn't be playing.
Oh, I'm not potting Murph, by the way. I'm just saying, you've come back. You picked a bad week to come back. Murph's unlucky this week.
Well, maybe.
If he doesn't,
Andy. They might single out one of the 22 that... you know, didn't do what they thought he would do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's, look,
there's a possibility. Yeah, there we're all, you know, everyone gets a vote from me this week, but they might think, well,
no, they, I'm
no,
sure
there was
they
one
can.
Or two yep, there yep. that yep. weren't exactly yep. up to the mark.
No, that's
and
true.
We think Merv can come in and get his 25, mm. and this guy's been averaging 12. So there's every likelihood that
they might look at Will Setterfield and say he got 18, went at 44%, didn't do enough,
yeah,
missed
exactly.
two set shots.
Exactly.
Will, have a spell, Merv, you're in.
Yes,
they could easily, and I don't reckon too many people are going to get upset about that.
No.
But I think Setterfield is a good is going to be a good player. I think Setterfield's going to be a good player.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I don't
I do too.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We're all, great.
I think so, yeah. Cunningham?
I just, you know, didn't do enough.
No.
But did his bit.
Yeah.
I thought they all contributed.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I'm agreeing with you, but I'm just saying that they're the type of players that they might be looking
at. He could.
Yeah, exactly.
But I want Dave Cunningham. I want to see him given his crack at it. I want Cunningham in at the centre bounce. I want him to get.
Went in a few times in the last quarter.
I want him to do more of that. I reckon he's got something there that they could utilize. You know, he's got breakaway and penetration, and
just needs a consistent run.
Exactly. And he's another one. I don't know. I think he's a bit odd.
He is.
I think he's a bit strange, Dave Cunningham.
Yeah. He's a film director, mate. What do you think?
Is that what he does?
He wants to be a film director.
Oh well, he's mad.
Studying
that's a
film.
Case. Yeah. No. Well, he's lunatic. But he thinks of the left side of his brain or the wrong side. He thinks
he's
of the wrong side to be a competitive sports person.
That's correct.
Something you mentioned, Andy, the other week that you didn't like was the fact that we had 100-something possessions less than...
it was last week, and we had one more turnover, or same turnover.
Oh, well, we actually had more clangers.
Yeah, it was... Yeah.
This week, we had 90 more possessions than the opposition and had 15 less clangers.
Perfect.
So there it is, bang.
Perfect.
There it is.
And I'd love to know what that stat was looking like in the first 30 minutes of the game.
Mm. I'm not sure.
It would have been a horror show.
Yeah.
Jared Pickett.
Yeah, yeah. The football world is full of guys who haven't taken their chance, unfortunately. And he was a teaser from the moment he walked in at Carlton and probably played his one and only good game of footy against Hawthorn 2 years ago.
Broke the drought.
And we just salivated at the potential of the guy because he had stuff that no one else had. He was lightning quick and he had really good, the ability to win contests and breakaway speed, all those things, but just didn't come to fruition, unfortunately.
Yeah, a bit hard for me to comment, to be honest with you. I didn't really see him enough at the elite level to comment. You know, I know the name. I saw him at the Northern Blues a bit, and I can assure you, he never tore it apart there. Came into the side with wraps. He had a decent-sized body. We all know and didn't do much in our senior side. Perhaps one or two games showed glimpses, but when you think about the fact that he came to the club, back to the club this year, pre-season, you know, not in good condition.
No.
Just tells you where the bloke's at.
Yep.
And then the injury came and now this. Now, I believe this was mutual. Was it? Yeah, I know. Was this mutual today?
Oh, yeah, absolutely it was. Yeah.
So it's a sit-down discussion where, you know.
I can't do it. It's too hard.
Oh, well.
I
can't. Look, I don't know where his mind's at. I don't know anything about the bloke.
It's more than just skill.
The only thing is, I do know his pedigree is unbelievable.
You know, it takes more than just skill in this caper.
Absolutely.
You know, he's got all the skill in the world.
It's not for everybody.
No, absolutely it's not. And, you know, he had his opportunity, and I can't believe I'm watching that Cottrell catch for the 1,000th time. Not Matty Cottrell. I can't believe that catch. The one that got Steve Smith.
It came flat and hard, too.
Mate, it's unbelievable. Like, how he caught, it's ridiculous.
He would have gone 10 rows back.
Our Cottrell's going all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Our Cottrell's going all right. Yeah. There's something there, I reckon.
Yeah,
something.
No, he would have been in our best half a dozen on the weekend, for sure.
So that was I'm glad for Fraze, and I'm glad for the footy club, the entire football club, and I'm glad for the Harold Martins and the Ray. I'm happy for all the people that Preston meant the world to, and all the Preston supporters. I don't know what the crowd was like. Did you go? Was
it a good crowd?
Good rollout?
Yeah, no,
great.
Very good rollout.
I would have been there with
food, ran out of a lot of things.
I would have been there with bells on if I didn't have to work. I would have loved to have been there, and I'm glad they got a result.
Bransgrove got there.
Good to see.
Yeah, good.
Little fella. Yeah good. He got there. Yep. Nice fella to talk to. Jeez, he's rock hard. Your man, who used to be the ruckman there, is now down at Willie. Is it Nick Meese?
Oh, yeah.
He was there. Yep. Was there.
He's still playing, isn't he?
For Willie, yeah. But he came in.
Oh, just to see his mates.
Yeah. No, it was a really great turnout.
How'd the jumper look?
You know what? It's the first thing I said. I loved it.
It's a good jumper.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And in the red shorts and the – I actually loved it. I didn't think I would because, you know, obviously I like to see the Carlton jumper, but I've got to say, I really liked it.
Yeah.
It was really pronounced and stunning. I loved it.
And they had to box on a bit. Like the Coburg came at him a couple of times in the game.
Mate,
and
it was frustrating, I've got to say. I think they got out to about a
– Tell me there were a couple of dust-ups. Were there a couple of – No. Biffo for old times' sake?
No, not really. I thought there could have been.
Yeah, no, disappointing.
Because I really thought Preston Coburg, the Battle of Bell Street.
Yeah, exactly.
There
might have been a bit of something.
A little bit of something. But there wasn't really.
The King, did he get through the game?
He got through the game. A few marks, a few possessions, went the ruck. Threw himself left, right, and centre. I wouldn't say it was a stellar game by any stretch, but someone told me that he might get a game by the end of the year.
Oh, I hope he does.
He gets fitty.
I know Tommy DeConning's a massive fan of the show. I just need to let you know, Tommy, that my oldest daughter, Millie, who is 9, has become completely obsessed with skateboarding. We went and bought her a new skateboard the other day, and I've been having way too much fun on her old skateboard, so I got one as well. So if Tommy DeConning wants to go skate, because he's a massive skatehead, Tommy, if you want to go skating, Millie and I and little Soph, we're up for it. So we'll take you down to the Ramsden Street skate pole and
Beautiful. We'll
have a bit of a go, see what you've got.
Yeah, I think they got out to about a 50-something point lead.
Who?
We did.
What? 50?
Yeah. It was 99 to about 40-something.
They must have kicked about the last 8 goals of the game, didn't they?
The last 6 unanswered.
Jesus.
The last 6, I reckon Fraze would have been livid. 3 of them landed in the goal square and bounced through. They wouldn't have been too happy with them. But, whatever that reason was, they'll iron that out, hopefully. The best players for the reserves were definitely Hugh Goddard, flying. He'd be winning their best and fairest.
Good on him.
Oh,
that's great. That's good for Carlton. It's good for Carlton.
Exactly. It really is. Now where I thought that stock of perhaps Jones or Bust has now become Levi, and it could be Hugh Goddard. Mm. I mean, I'm not sure what he would be like in the AFL, but certainly he's more than comfortable at VFL level.
Look, being consistent.
But I don't think he had a opponent that would have matched him in height and strength and
stuff. But he did well.
He was clearly best on ground. Garlett had his best game for the club.
Where'd he play?
Backline.
Well, okay. So they're sticking with that. We're trying to make him that rebound.
He ran.
I know for a fact that our football director is absolutely hell-bent on developing bounce and run out of defence.
We certainly tried that.
That's what he's convinced that that's what we need more of.
We need pace to start.
Yep. Yeah. More burst out of defence. Yeah. You know, set it up, ping out, set it up off halfback. Juddy, I know for a fact Juddy's completely convinced we need as much of that as we possibly can. Okay. Particularly with Simo, when it's sooner rather than later, Simo. So we need someone to be a setup, and we need more setup guys, so.
Well, hopefully that will be someone like Tom Williamson.
Sam Doherty.
Shuey, maybe.
He was okay.
He's come along all right, isn't he?
Matty
Cottrell.
He's just, he was good.
Mm.
He was good, kicked a couple of big ones, actually, Matty Cottrell. Shuey had enough of the pill, but his disposal lets him down from time to time. Mm. I think he's a good kick, but just for some reason, it just doesn't take the right option and misses. And he was pretty dirty on himself a few times that he took the wrong option or he missed completely.
Yeah.
Thought he was okay. Kennedy clearly, was He was in the top three.
Inside 30. Or outside?
In.
Do yeah. it for 4 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no, absolutely. No, absolutely, Andy. Mate, hand up. I've got him wrong.
Well, we got him wrong last week.
Well, I got him wrong last week.
He let us down. I think he let us all down last week. All the people that have been pushing for him to come in and lend the skipper a hand, he got his chance last week.
Yeah, and he let himself down.
Well,
he had 30 on the weekend.
Good on him. Good.
He was right amongst it. Lobie had a good game. Fasolo had a good game. Like, geez, he's good with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, well, he's always been high quality in that regard.
Jeez, he's very good at the point. I know, Andy. I know. I'm calling it as I see.
No. Just call it. No surprise, mate.
Okay. And this is what I'll say. Matt Owie's had a pretty good game.
I hear they're keen to play him.
Well, that was a rumour.
I hear they're
keen. He's not ready to go yet.
I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that they are. They think he's a lot closer than a lot of us think he might be.
Okay, I wouldn't have
thought. I'm just saying, but we'll just wait and see.
Interesting. What I felt on the weekend with the Northern Blues was that a lot of the Carlton listed players really brought it.
Yeah, good.
They really brought it. And that was probably a bit of a feeling over the past month that our Carlton boys were probably not bringing their best at that level. And I thought that they certainly, stamped their imprimatur and, I thought they were great. Alex Johnson got through.
That's a good story.
He can play.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Back line.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Voice, mate, voice.
Mm. Yeah.
He calls Goddard in and he puts the block for him.
Mate, he's...
You can hear it. You can just hear it, mate. It's just fantastic to listen to a bloke with voice who's been around for
a while. Six knee recos, mate.
Yeah. But he's got great voice.
Unbelievable.
Great voice out on the ground. It's exactly what they need. There's a few Carlton boys that could probably, have a listen to what he can bring to the table. And he got through okay. So all in all, it was, I think it was a 17-point win that they desperately needed. And I think they've got the Doggies this week.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
I went and saw the VFLW girls. They lost one they should have won. I know we're all busy on weekends. If we can just get down, the game was at Bundoora La Trobe, which is our sort of second home ground.
And they don't make it all that easy. The
scheduling is difficult. It is difficult. Yeah, I went to leave at 3/4 time so I could get to the Carlton game. But
can I throw something stupid up? Why couldn't? And correct, let me know if this is impossible. Why couldn't the AFL have them? Have the VFLW as curtain raisers?
Absolutely no reason.
No reason?
No. Well, there's no reason. No. What? Other than ground managers. Mm. Other than ground managers saying there's too many.
That's what we were saying. Get rid of the noise and bullshit.
Spot
and
on. Why spot on.
I don't understand why you couldn't.
No, they're worried about traffic on grounds, but it's annoying.
Watch sack races and bloody give me a freaking race.
So they lost one they should have won.
Did they lose on the weekend?
It was a good game. It was like 7-6. Was it? Northern Territory, who had Chelsea Randall. She's arguably the best player in women's football.
Maddie played?
Pris Parker's played her first game. She's good. The real encouraging one was Abby McKay. Oh. She got around. Like she looked good, Macca. Yeah. So
on ball.
Yeah, did a bit. Got behind the ball a bit.
Down all right?
Yeah, they are. My word. Number 7, I get Sarah and Gemma and mixed up, but they're both real goers. And one's got a touch of class. The one that plays up forward's got a touch of class.
How do you go about trying to get them on our AFLW?
Well, there's the draft.
Right. But if we want them, is it a natural that they're going to come to us?
I think they can. I don't know. I think it's like anything. They're VFL players, mate, so anyone can pick them up. But if you can get along, I'd love you. If you're out there, and I'm sure some of you do, but it'd just be great if they ran out one day and there was, Jesus, there's 1,000 people here. That'd be bloody awesome.
I've got no
issue, if you can.
But it's never worked in with...
Plano was great. The Hosking.
It's never worked
in. It's hard.
With our AFL team.
No, it's difficult.
And
it is.
Actually our VFL team, so...
It's difficult.
Well, there's another one. Why couldn't they play before our VFL team?
Don't know. It makes total sense to me. I'm really just mentioning the AFLW girls because they're the ones that I think most people know of and, will be more interested in sort of down the track. But
Is there a Smokey amongst them?
I think number seven, right number seven. I don't mean to upset the sister, who is a terrific player, but I wouldn't. She can play. She could play at AFLW level.
Okay,
I reckon. So we'll wait and see. Votes.
Just before that, can I just say to every person out there from the bottom of my heart, Gex won't know because he's not on social media. Andy won't. Well, Andy might. He might have read a few.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
When you're teeing up to catch up with a bloke for a cup of coffee, the rest of the world on Twitter doesn't need to know that. We don't need to see. Yeah, my grandma lives in Lowell Temple. So, there's some cafes out there. I live in Tokyo. That's not what Twitter's about. Can you just take that privately and have a text message with one another? The world of Twitter.
I've got his phone number.
Say, mate, what's your phone number? Just DM, direct message me your phone number, and then you guys take that offline. The rest of the world doesn't need to know everything you're planning to do with some bloke you don't even know
yet. Are
you
listening, George?
Right. Should seem.
See, Andy's having a crack at George.
No, I'm having a go at both of you, particularly you. Can you just take it offline, please? Just take it offline. Just don't get offended by it. Just take it offline.
Can I finish what I was about to say?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So anyway, we obviously have a lot of listeners who knew that I in particular had been down for a few weeks, and my daughter, and I gave some examples of young kids who, you know, were potentially losing the
bullying
faith.
Thing. Yep.
And the amount of messages I got, DM, direct message.
Thank you.
They didn't want people to
George,
see.
George, take note.
Just words of encouragement, basically, for all of us. It's bloody unbelievable that people, you know, it was heartfelt. They knew that, well, I in particular, you know, was a little bit down. And it's nice to hear that people actually care. Now, a lot of you I don't know personally. Some I do, but it was just nice to hear what they had to say. And it's to all of us, by the way. It's not just to me and my daughter and whoever else. It's to all of us.
So, how is Princess Fee this week? Is she all right?
Oh, mate.
She had a smile on her face this week. Those big white teeth of hers were popping out all over
the joint. The hug we had at the end of the game, believe you me, I think it was the old man that might have had tears of joy.
Good.
But she was like,
pass on our best to us.
Absolutely, good, mate. Absolutely.
Votes. Anything else? You and George sorted?
Yeah, me and good. George are sorted.
Right, Gex, give me your votes, please.
But Darren O'Connell.
Baz, Gex, give me your votes, please.
My votes are going to be less than yours. You'll be espousing greatness all over the place. But I gave four to Cripper, who I just thought was the top of the pyramid as far as performances.
Oh, I got
concerned.
That one right.
Don't disagree with yourself. So I don't know what you're talking about, but keep going.
It was a 10 out of 10, 11 out of 10 game. You absolutely could not possibly have done one more thing 100%. Better. Three votes. Ed, magnificent. Last 3 weeks, you've knocked three blokes over. Great to see you back doing what you do best.
I can't disagree so far, Gex.
Let's just, you know, use Ed Curno where he's best used for the rest of the year, and the side will be better off for it. Sam Walsh.
Snap.
My goodness me. You are the most natural footballer I've ever seen for a first-year player. Good luck to your son. Gibbons. High intellect. The more of the game he sees, the better he goes.
Hey, Gex, did you check my votes?
Keep going, Gex.
Throw him in amongst it.
You've been cheating.
Weeders, complete.
Snap.
Four quarters. Well done. Excellent game. Keep going. Two votes each to Plowman, Levi and Charlie. Solid as rocks. And one vote each I gave to Fisher, SBS, Setters, O'Brien, Jack, Silvani, Cruz and McGovern.
Oh, very close. Cripper 4, Walsh 3, Wiedering 3, Ed Curno 3, Gibbons 3, Charlie 2, Levi 2, Marchbank 2, Plowman 2, Fisher 2, SPS 2, Cruiser 2, O'Brien 2, the rest 1.
Cripps 4, Weeders, Walsh, E. Curno 3, 2, Petrescu, Seaton, C. Curno, Gibbons, Casbolt, Fisher, Cruiser, Plowman, 1, everybody else.
You're kidding, aren't you? You're very close.
Oh, what you're talking
very
about.
Very close, you're absolutely. Now, to Darren O'Connell, I just want to say thank you to you. I don't know who you are, but you direct messaged me Saturday night on the back of knowing that I couldn't watch the replay because I had no NBN, thank you, Telstra, for nothing. And he direct messaged me, this fella, lives in Eltham, said, Baz, if you're doing nothing, come round and you can watch the replay with me. But I'd had far too many to drink by that stage.
Right, there you go.
So, but thank you.
Thank you, Darren. And thanks for bringing, your personal conversations into the greater mix.
Can't you do that? How are you supposed to do
that? The
rest
of the world are happy to hear that, but it's you and Darren that need to exchange
these
pleasantries.
You know what? If you don't want to read what I'm saying on Twitter, just scroll by.
Thanks for listening. Get along Saturday. Support all the other teams. It's a good week to be a Carlton supporter. Enjoy every moment of it, folks, and may there be more to come between now and the end of the season.
Woo! And they will know that they've been playing against the famous old dark blues.
For logbook servicing you can rely on, you need to make the right choice. You need trained professionals who are fully qualified to service your car according to manufacturer's specifications. For real peace of mind and a nationwide warranty, book in or book online at repcoservice.com.